Hello and welcome to the Tyler Sten podcast, episode 156, and welcome to the Star Hall of Fame induction evening. I'm your host, Mark Mayo, joining you tonight, and this is basically going to be in complete reverse order because we're filming the intro at the end of the Hall of Fame evening. We've got some interviews with some key figures coming up from the middle of the evening, and at the start of the evening, we filmed our talk about Norwich, which is coming at the end of the podcast. Nice and easy here. So Ben Greenwood is with me here at the Medeski Stadium, and a nice evening.
Hello. Thanks, Mark. Nice to be here, and been a great evening, really interesting.
Yeah, so we've had 25 go in all the way from the start, and had Dennis Allen, who is Martin Allen's dad. Martin Allen came up to accept his award. Through to Nick Hammond, Michael Jilks, all there tonight. Phil Parkinson couldn't be here, but he had a personalised message sent down, kind of like when you win the Oscars, but sorry, I can't be here tonight, that sort of thing. And ending with Brian McDermott, Kevin Doyle, and Eamon Dolan as well. So it was really nice. I think as a club that we don't really have much sort of history in terms of trophies and that sort of stuff. How do you think it's an important thing for fans to get involved in and you know, to show off in a way?
Yeah, certainly. You've got to honour your past players and their achievements, and every club has those great days and those great players, and it's good that we get to do something like this evening to hear a few of their stories. And obviously with the more recent inductees, it's great that nearly all of them were here to go up and accept their awards and give a little speech and just say what it meant to them. And it's been a really nice evening and well organised by Star.
Yeah, we've had Martin Hicks, Ian Branford going up as well. Ian Branford talking about the Simod Cup win as one of the defining moments of his career and his life as well, which was just really pleasant to see and to hear from those guys, especially both of us being fans who sort of started in the early noughties, and to get a glimpse into what it was like. We had some sort of footage from the Simod Cup and from some fan film footage from Kevin Doyle's Leicester goal that sent us into the Premier League.
And some even older than that, back in some Pathé BFI footage of the 1910s game and things like that. And
some proper classic,
some good team photos and moustaches there.
So the sort of stuff we don't really see these days. Sort of looking at the team at the moment, do you think there's anyone that you think is potentially Hall of Fame material in the team at the moment? I would probably say the first player that springs to mind is someone like Jordan Obita, who has the potential to be a one club man.
Certainly. Well, I was thinking the same thing while we were sitting through watching all these great players, thinking, what would you give for one of these kind of players in our team now? And, you know, nobody particularly jumps out. You're right about Obita. He's come through the academy as well and very much a fan favourite. But in general, unfortunately, it's just been a bit of a tough time at the moment where you can't pick out true legends like you can say for Parkinson and Doyle and people like that who we've seen tonight.
Yeah, well, I do think if Yapstan makes it into the Reading FC Hall of Fame, then fair play to the man, because he would have done an incredible job from where he's at the moment. Brian McDermott did joke, actually, that he'd worry that he was going to get sacked just when coming back here as a general rule for whenever he's at the club. And also, he was highly nervous that he was going to get offered the manager's job as well, and made clear he would turn it down. Just so we all know that McDermott doesn't want a third spell in charge of the club, which would be music to some people's ears and awful to other people. But someone else who went in, I think it's interesting that we've had people like Nick Hammond as well go in, because obviously it's the players and the stuff that we always think about scoring the goals. Obviously Kevin Doyle going in, Michael Jilks and that, but I think it's a testament to how well the club has been run over the past couple of decades that we've had Dolan go in, we've had Nick Hammond go in, and obviously Sir John Medeski as well tonight.
Yeah, it's good to recognise those people that make the club off of the pitch. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, and you can't ignore certainly Medeski's front and centre, the stadium name and everything. We all know who he is, but Hammond's contribution as well is can't be overlooked, that's for sure. We've had some brilliant players come and go at good value. We always say how lots of players have been moved on and never done quite as well once they've left Reading, so I think that's testament to getting good deals out of them while they were here and investing that money wisely.
And Brian McDermott said during his speech that you had that 2005-06 team. It was kind of a lot of very good individuals were in that team, but for 2011-2012 it wasn't so much that case. It was just the team spirit, which he described as frightening in his speech. So we'll be talking to Brian McDermott and Kevin Doyle. Let's put it next. I haven't decided the order of the show, but we'll put that next, and then afterwards we'll have Sir John Medeski, and then we'll be back here with us two sitting right here now. We'll talk about the Norwich game and have your questions in the mailbag.
The Tylehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetylehurstend.com.
Cool. Welcome to the Tarlhurst then, Kevin Doyle and Brian McDermott. Let's start with you then, Brian. How are things going yourself? You're at Arsenal these days, or?
I am.
Back as a scout, back in the old hunting ground?
Yeah, I'm in Europe. I do a lot in Europe of scouting all over the place. I've been in 4 countries in the last 8 days.
Air miles.
Loads of air miles.
I've got silver
on British Airways now.
Oh, nice. You'll be allowed in the lounge soon.
No, I'm allowed in the lounge, but you get a better lounge if you get to gold.
You're aiming to find the next Kevin Doyle.
No, I'm trying to get to gold. Forget Kevin Doyle. You can't find another Kevin Doyle. It's impossible.
Arsenal wouldn't understand what you're saying. If 10 grand for a player, they wouldn't.
It wasn't 10 grand, actually.
Seven.
No. Let me tell you exactly what it was. It was 113,000 euros. Yeah. Am I wrong, Kevin?
Yeah, I don't know what the exchange rate was.
Yeah. So it ended up at £97,000.
Shane Long was an extra pair of sneakers as well, was that?
30,000 euros.
But what a bargain that turned out to be.
Yeah, absolutely. He wouldn't have said that after his first week of training.
But second week.
Very good. Yeah, he did actually. Yeah.
Got boots that fit me.
Back down for the Hall of Fame then, is it? We're speaking at half time at the moment, so I'm assuming both of you guys are going in, hence the fact you're here.
I'm just here to see Kevin.
nice to be honoured.
Yeah, definitely. Great to be invited. I was saying to Patrick earlier, I don't think I said it to you, right? When I drove over this morning from Ireland, it was like driving home. I don't think I can say that about any other club. I don't think I'd feel that about any other club. Driving out here, driving down the M4 today from through Wales, coming inside, just felt like the most normal thing in the world. So that's great to be able to say that about a club like that.
How is retirement treating you then? You've got some plenty of things to keep yourself busy?
Yeah, I've been busy. I do a little bit of farming. I've got some horses, I've breed a few horses, and I've different things that I have to keep an eye on at home and over here. So, you know, I'm busy. Busy as I want to be, so it's nice. I've got a couple of young kids that need looking after as well. So, you know, I feel like I've been busier than I ever was when I was playing. Anyway.
Nice and in control. So how are you guys, looking at the Reading team at the moment, how do you guys sort of look at the club? Do you look at every week and see what the results are always being, or do you kind of take a step back and let it take care of itself? Or
yeah, listen, I always look for the first result I look for. You know, obviously look for the Arsenal result, I look at Reading, I look at Leeds. You need to win a couple of games, and you know that doesn't change. And the next game against QPR, just try and win the next game. That's the most important thing, and you know, and then build again in the summer. And that's all you need to do. And just back the players as best as the crowd can possibly do. Get behind them because it's a big time for the club.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Brian, is Jimmy Kebbe has kind of gone off the radar for us so much at the moment, and he's such a player that we loved watching, and I bet if you'd have played with him, Kevin, you'd have loved playing with Jimmy.
He did play for a little bit. And he was very good that year as well.
Where is he at the moment? What is he doing? Because he's one of those players that has gone off the radar so much, I have no idea where he is.
The rumours are, and it's only a rumour.
Oh, yeah, that's Brady's question.
Yeah, I told Kevin a straight answer.
I don't know if he's going to give you the real answer.
I kind of know what Jim's doing. Yeah, he's just say Jimmy's fine. I think from what I can gather. So he obviously came to play for me at Leeds. So yeah. Enough said. No, he's in a good spot, I think.
Yeah. Well, he'll always be a hero here for sure.
I love Jimmy. Yeah. Jimmy was a great player for me and the team that I was involved in. It was fabulous.
Yeah, fantastic.
Who was your favourite winger to be supplying you crosses then? Bobby Comby was always straight down to the byline, crossing
Glenn
the ball
was
in.
Pretty good as well.
Glenn Little. I mean, you had to wait for him to do all his tricks first, didn't you?
We had a good 4 wingers, I would say. Glenn Little and Bobby to begin with were always the starters, and John Oster was a great, you know, come in when Glenn was injured, Stephen Hunt as well. So Bobby Comby always seemed to be on the same wavelength as me. You know, he kicked me in for a lot of goals. Glenn Little, I was always intrigued by Glenn Little because, and I've said this before, you remember I didn't know Glenn Little, my first week here, and we thought he must be like a centre-half or something in training, you know, he didn't have any pace, he was stiff-looking or whatever, but the minute he went out and played in those few years that he played here while I was here, he didn't need pace, he could beat anybody. Yeah, he could beat anybody, and he was... Maybe to his detriment for him, but to my, you know, success part of it, he wasn't like a winger now. Who wingers now, you know, they're worried about how many goals they get. They don't really care about how many goals himself. Whereas he just, all he wanted to do was cross the ball and set things up. He didn't really care about scoring his own goals. So for a striker, that was brilliant. He never looked to chop inside and shoot or do that. He always just looked to pick out a centre forward. And
It's one thing I noticed in soccer has changed over the years. Wingers now just all want to cut inside and shoot, which can be frustrating as a striker. But Glenn Little was that one guy who just always beat his man across it, and he didn't try to fancy his crosses. He put him in an area where he could attack the ball, and I really enjoyed playing.
Brilliant. That's what something we're lacking at the moment, to be honest. Is putting Blakey, the ball in the box.
Putting back in.
Yeah, we could do with him. Wait, he's on the commentary.
Apparently, he's a good commentary.
Yeah, he does.
Now, last question I'll ask you then, guys, is sort of on the sort of total football method, because Reading has been a passing team for the last few years. I'm wondering if you think that the club, because it was so successful under Steve Coppell playing that 4-4-2, get the ball into the box, so successful under yourself, Brian, 4-4-2, get ball into the box. Do you think that's kind of the natural way that the fans want to watch football at Reading? Do you think we have that so ingrained in us that that's the only way that might be successful for us?
No, I don't think that at all. I mean, there was a year that I played with Gilfie was here. We played one off the striker. Gilfie played off the striker. So I don't... Fans want to watch winning football.
Yeah.
And last year the team were third and they got to the playoff final and they missed out by a penalty kick.
Yeah.
This season's been tough. You know, sometimes seasons are difficult and that's how it has been this season. Just accept it for what it is and get on with it and try to beat QPR. Listen, the manager, the staff, the players, they won't be sleeping. They'll want to win games. You know, there's absolutely no doubt about that. And I don't buy into it. It's about the players are not concerned. They'll be concerned and they want to win. And, you know, just get behind them for that whenever the next game is against Rangers. And I think they'll get the result they need. They need a couple of wins. That's all, in my opinion.
Well, thanks very much for taking the time out to have a nice little chat with us, guys.
Thank you.
And have a good evening as well.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Welcome to The Tarlhurst End. Sir John Medeski, it's an absolute pleasure to have you with us. The Hall of Fame event to start with. It's a nice event to have because Reading FC is a club that perhaps doesn't have so much history in and of the sort of trophies and typical aspects, but we have these a lot of very familiar names and a lot of names that we perhaps don't know so well as fans, particularly from the older era, getting honoured tonight. And it's nice to have, isn't it?
I think it's absolutely wonderful. I've found this evening so far very, very interesting indeed, you know, the histrionics of it. And, you know, 1871 is a long, long time ago, and how the game's changed and how the people have changed. And it's really quite riveting. And what's interesting is you see a lot of the names cropping up, and people obviously have descendants from them that will probably recognise their names. So it's quite interesting too.
Yes,
of course, in those days, you know, pre-war days and so on, you've got far more chance of people being associated with the local area than you have in this day and age, because now the teams are so diverse and they've got international players and so on. So it's very, very meaningful, and I think it gives a true reflection of Reading Football Club, because at the heart of Reading Football Club, in my humble opinion, is community. And that's what it's all about. And this strengthens that tie with the local community enormously.
What is your role with the club these days? Do you often sit in on sort of board meetings, hover around the back. Or is everything everything's up
now,
to the new guys?
I'm pleased to say my title is Honorary Vice Chairman, which is a great title to have, which enables me to go and watch all the games and absolutely have no influence on the club whatsoever.
Do you still hand out, because I think it was about 2004 I went into the executive box for my dad's work or something, had the match ball sponsor for the day, and we won a quiz in the pre-game executive box and you handed me a signed football by the squad. And that's still under my bed actually, the signed football of the squad of that day.
Under
Baz
the
Savage.
Bed, that should be up on a shelf, surely.
If it was 05, 06, then it'd be up on the mantelpiece. But those sort of things, you still get a chance to engage with people that way?
Sadly, no. I mean, my role is just purely honorary, but I mean, I do a lot of work in the community in terms of public speaking and so on. I have my program on The Breeze called Round of Sir John's every Sunday morning at 10:30, and I like doing that. And I'm all about community, really.
Excellent. And final question for me is, obviously it's a Hall of Fame evening. We're going to be looking back in a short while as we're talking at halftime at the moment about sort of 05, 06, 2012 championship winning team. If you had to pick one moment out of those two, what sort of was the defining moment? Obviously the 2005, 06 year getting the record and everything like that in the Premier League.
I think my race on deck, if you will, because I was a steward of the club for many, many years, and I think my raison d'etre was taking Reading to the promised land for the very first time. IE to the Premier League, and that was my biggest goal and my biggest joy. Second thing would be building this lovely stadium that we have, which really makes such a big difference to the football club and gives it so much more. Not that we didn't like Elm Park. Elm Park was fantastic, but it was knackered, finished. And this gives it that kudos that it needs. So we are not the football club today is a totally different beast to what it was before.
Let me ask you just one quick point that emerged into my head then, is the idea that maybe one day it won't be called the Medeski Stadium and it will move on to a new name. What are your thoughts on that and the potential, you know, sponsorship of the stadium?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously football's a moving feast, and if the powers that be can get a lot of money by calling it something else, I'm sure they will.
Excellent.
Medeski will never be forgotten, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. In our fans' minds, I mean, there's all kinds of grounds, like Pride Park, yeah, changed name. It's always remained in that original name, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, thanks, boys, for keeping
yeah,
it.
Yeah, brilliant.
Keep my memory going.
Thank you very much, Sir John. That's an honour.
Thank you. Thank you very much to Sir John for letting us have a quick chat with him at the Medeski, and let me ask him one more question than I told him I was going to. We moved on at the end of the evening to talk to Nicky Hammond, the former director of football at Reading, and I began by congratulating him on his Hall of Fame entry, as well as something else.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Congratulations as well on getting £4.5 million from Matt Mills, which has been something that Reading fans have always been incredibly appreciative of. Was it £4.5 million? It was about
a bit more than that.
Fair.
Good to know.
Yeah, well, Leicester had a bit of cash then, didn't they?
Well, at least the private Derbyt to like an yeah. after dinner, wasn't it?
I mean, he's a funny man, but I've had
a really enjoyable evening. I haven't come back very much since I left. I came to a playoff semi-final last year against Fulham, which was a great night.
Yeah.
And I really, really enjoyed it. It was my first visit back, and everyone looked after me so well. And they played well and they won, and I thought the team were going to do it last year. You know, I thought in the final that they would come through, but unfortunately not. And, you know, quite often after that season, you lose a playoff final, it's difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, we did it, yeah, in as much as losing to Swansea and then winning promotion. That's an incredible achievement, but it's a difficult season the one after.
Very, yeah.
How did you, I mean, rewinding all the way back to the start of your sort of behind-the-scenes days at Reading, how did you learn to become someone who was so adept at transfers, who could...
Self-taught. No, I mean, literally, I mean, how it came about really is that I'd had the injury, and Alan Pardew came back as a caretaker manager, and he'd been away from the club for a period of time, and I'd had a good relationship with him when he was the reserve team manager here, so he effectively rung me up the night he got the job and said, "Look, you know, I need you to help me, you know, I need to know where the group's at." So I got involved on that side of it. But, you know, I developed a good relationship with him, and then I became the academy manager. So we were looking after the football side of the club and trying to get some continuity, which is obviously, you know, something that's been massively important, you know, over the last 10-15 years. If you want to produce footballers through your youth development system, you need to have a pathway and you need to have alignment between the first team and the academy, and that's something that we did in the very early days with Alan. And of course that introduced me to dealing with the chairman and board meetings, and you know, they saw me sort of presenting, be it for the academy or some of the stuff for the first team. And then when Alan went to West Ham, that's chairman said to me, "Well, we want you to stay," and that was director of football. And I was like, I've told this story many times. I said, "Great, what's that?" But they were obviously keen, you know, not to lose myself and Alan, who were really effectively driving the football side of the club. So, I never really wanted to be a number two where you're on the coattails of a manager. So he moves, you move, he moves, you move. So I took that role, but really, I mean, I had no training. It was literally thrown in the deep end and get on with it. And the first deal I ever did was with Ivar Ingemarsson.
Oh, and yeah, of course.
I sat with Nigel Howe that day, who was the chief executive, and we sort of did that deal together, and he led it. And then I literally did every deal after that. So you know, you have to learn on your feet, really.
Yeah. Did all right as well.
Yeah, we had good players. You know, we in the first instance, you know, we were really strong in our recruitment policy. You know, I was very, very active in terms of looking at players. I worked very, very closely with Brian, who was the chief scout at the time. We had a small team of scouts, you know, that's always been quite important for me. Okay. I don't like too many people in the recruitment
too
process.
Too many voices.
Yeah. And we had a very, very short line of communication into the Nigel and the chairman and Ian Woodsmith. So we could get things done quickly. So quite often we would get a deal done before anyone else was really, you know, set up and in a position to. So that was one of the great sort of strengths of our business model, I guess. And of course we bought players who developed and then we sold on for bigger money. So
I always think that when I'm playing on my Football Manager games, that one of the most important skills in football is selling players. If you can sell players well and maximise their sort of profit and everything like that, then that's one of the most important things to maintaining a club and running it sort of from the back.
I think that's right, and you know, the strong temptation is to keep hold of players for too long. You know, the skill is really trying to sort of sell them at the right point on the curve.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there were players that left here that sort of disappointed me at the time, like the sell of Sigurdsson. You know, it was too early to sell Gylfi, but the financial situation of the club really dictated that we had to do that, and therefore, you know, I was always in a position really where you have to maximise the value, because you know, Sir John was of a view that the club has to wash its own face. You know, it has to be able to be sustainable, and I believe in that model. You know, I believe too many football clubs live beyond their means. So I sort of found myself very, very early having to try and squeeze deals, probably sometimes more than you'd want, because sometimes you come back at a later stage and you have to go and deal with someone that you dealt with previously, and well, they may have a little bit of a feeling that in the previous time that you pushed the deal too far. So I think that's a difficult balance when you're in any business, in any deal. I absolutely believe in the sort of the win-win situation.
Yeah.
You know, that everyone comes out of a deal feeling, you know, as if they've done okay.
And maintaining that relationship in case it happens.
I think, that's important. But in the early days for us, because, you know, the financial parameters were so tight, you know, we did push and push and push on deals, and you know, that was part of what we did, and understanding the deal and understanding where people are on the deal, that's one of the skills of trying to maximise the profits, really.
Yeah, I suppose you've seen firsthand how deals have changed over the years, and how do you think the sort of the landscape of it all is looking now? With there's a lot more agents involved, there's super agents, big name agents that everyone knows about, like Jorge Mendes and Mino Raiola. Is it more difficult now to sort of get to a player? You've got to go through more layers of entourage first?
I don't think so, not at the senior level, because the big players are the big players. The representation and the clarity around representation on top players, I'm talking sort of Premier League and most Championship players, I think the representation, the clarity of representation is fairly straightforward.
Okay.
I think what's happened now is that, and one of my big bugbears is there has been a big change in rules and regulations. The business has been deregulated, which has allowed more people to come into the marketplace, to flood the marketplace, to try and make money. And I think with younger players it's become a real, real dangerous situation, because the amount of scouting and recruitment being done at academy level, schoolboy level, is incredible, and the amount of people milling around and hanging around young players young players is, I think, is a big, big problem for us. And where the deregulation has come.
We've just gone through his worst signings ever. That's the first 10 minutes done. We're getting heckled by Brian McDermott.
I've lost my thread. I think at youth level, I think it's become really, really difficult and quite dangerous. I think at senior level, it's still fairly straightforward. Mm. I think as a club, the important thing is as a club, you decide what's your model, what's your way of operating, what's your values. How are you going to go about your business? And the one thing about Reading is that in the people at the top of the organisation, it's very, very clear. Mm. So, people talk about all these strange and dodgy deals. Well, we never had any of that because everyone understood how our club worked, and it was a straightforward, proper, correct football club. But the market has changed. There are a lot more middlemen. There are a lot more facilitators, especially in foreign deals, European deals. In the English market, club to club, less so.
Yeah. I think we will let you go. As I say, we're being heckled by former Reading managers. It's still at West Brom, are we?
The way you phrase that question. Yes.
purely because these things aren't the sort of things that get announced publicly. Or certainly, I'm not keeping up with West Brom so much. But how Robson Carney signed in the summer. Was my final question is
he
purely
signed, not last summer, he signed the summer before.
Sorry.
Summer 2016.
Were Atletico Madrid ever going to sign Harold Robson-Kanu, or was that a news story conjured out of less than substantial air?
I don't know. What I do know about Harold is that he had a fantastic European Championships for the Welsh national side. He was a free transfer. And he's actually provided good value for West Bromwich Albion. Last year he did exceptionally well. This year he's had a few more knocks and injuries and not been as regular in the team or coming off the bench. And so it's been a bit more fragmented his season, but he's been good value. And but for us, obviously, it's been a difficult season, and now we're sort of looking ahead and making our plans.
Well, best of luck for the future, and thank you very much for talking to us tonight. And congratulations on entering the Reading FC Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, guys.
Well done as well.
Thank you.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/thetarlhurstend.
Ultimately, we did record a bit of reaction to the Norwich game and some questions from the mailbag after that, but of course the Star Hall of Fame evening took place the night before Yap Stan was sacked, so all that effectively has been thrown in the bin by us. So all that remains is to thank you for listening to the podcast, and thank you to Star as well for a really good evening down the Hall of Fame. Hopefully this can become something that's going to be once a year, and it's something that we can just sort of rejoice about as Reading fans and get involved with. And certainly if anyone was looking to go down this year and didn't bother, I would definitely say to go down next year and to keep an eye on all future Star events. We'll certainly be doing so on the Tarlhurst End. And of course we have the Podcast Extra coming back on Thursday to look forward to the QPR game and beyond in the post-Stam era. So thank you for listening again, and come on your arse.
He smiled, funny how the crowds always be.